The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said to his disciples, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but he will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. So, for me, standing over there in the pulpit has never worked on Trinity Sunday because it somehow sets me apart from all of you, even though not very far apart. There are pulpits that seem much higher in other churches, but it has always felt like the Trinity brings us all here on equal footing and invites us to pull us together, a community that works together, that shares together, that loves together. And so I preach from this place because of that. Today, the image we hold is like a divine circle dance. That's what the early fathers called it. The Greek is perichoresis. And that's the origin of our word choreography. And it gives this image, this metaphor of a divine circle dance. God, the Holy One, inviting us into the dynamic and loving action of a deep relationship, a transforming relationship that is represented by Trinity in our faith. And that means that if it is a deep relationship, a transforming relationship, then we are part of the communication and the participation of the central part of our service today, both the service of the word and the service of the table. Liturgy, we call it. Liturgy, the work of the people. Not the work of the clergy, work of the people. So even what we do here is Trinitarian. And so communication and participation are central. And then in our gospel, Jesus steps forward in his best pastoral manner and says to us, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them all right now. That's the way of our faith, that we come to a deepening faith over time, step by step, experience by experience. They are experiences of joy or experiences of brokenness. We come to them, and that again is a Trinitarian kind of understanding of how we deepen our faith and our community is here today. And so I think that Trinitarian love extends to us. And the way of experiential faith in community, it gives us experiential knowledge, not necessarily facts. And that's important to the Trinity because the Trinity acts dynamically, all of us together, but each one of us, to deepen our faith. And I'll talk about that in a little more. So Richard Rohr, a Franciscan monk and a Catholic priest who I think has great wisdom right now and is speaking out, says that there is a Trinitarian revolution going on right now. And I love that idea, but he says that there hasn't been this much interest in this community of the Trinity since the third, since they finally worked out the word Trinity, which wasn't in the Bible, but they worked out this idea that they saw Jesus living into and called it Trinity, and then worked out a doctrine, and we now say the Nicene Creed every week because of that. But this is a different Trinitarian revolution because It is supposed to be something that is dynamic and grows and comes into every generation alive and well and working in and through us with love at its center. And I love that we still have this baptismal font right here, because this is where love begins and commitment begins. And I think that this revolution is out of a hunger and thirst for true and authentic community. It comes from our hearts and souls that we need to reach out not just here to each other, but also to our neighbors. But we start here. We start deepening our relationships right here, because there is no safer place for us to talk with each other, to share our deepest longings, to hear what God is offering us, both in word and here at the table. It seems that it can only happen through the divine action of the Trinity, inviting us out of our isolation and certainty, out of our either-or dualism, into the wonder and awe of this unity that we spoke to about in our collect this morning. Believing in the unity found in diversity that the Trinity actually is our best example of. So the Holy Trinity is kind of mystical. It's a mystery, and it needs to stay a mystery. But mystery doesn't mean that we will never understand. In fact, each one of you have had wonderful moments of understanding the dynamics of the Trinity. I know that. You're sitting here. And so, but those change over time. It matters where you stand in your life right now, who you are. And I think that it's no surprise that the powers that be put Trinity Sunday directly following Pentecost. Because we couldn't do this without the giver of life, the Holy Spirit, bringing to us a sense of experience, of faith, helping us to remember the words that Jesus used. In our reading of Proverbs, but also of our psalm this morning too, it talks about the hopes and dreams of our faithfulness and acknowledges God's ongoing partnership with us here on earth. And there's no time that communities of faith have to step up to God's call for us to be those transforming stewards of creation than now. Read those two over again. Hear wisdom, but also hear the psalm calling us forward. Richard Rohr actually uses the Trinitarian image as order, disorder, and reorder. Order is the Trinity of our Creator. God created order in the world out of chaos. And then disorder, there was nobody who brought more disorder to the earth than Jesus Christ. Jesus tipped over all kinds of things besides that, the money changer's table. Jesus was always doing that which was the next right thing to do, and including all people. Jesus was a faithful Jew. And so we have these images of order and disorder, and then reorder is where you've walked through the disorder and you come out and you feel this sense of transformation. You feel this, I'm going to borrow on what Patty said to us this morning during the adult forum, this liberating feeling of, okay, I have a new way of thinking of my faith. I have been transformed. I am not the same person I was before I went through this period of disorder in my life. I am now a new kind of being in the world. That's the power of the Trinity acting in and through us. And you don't get to transformation unless you're willing to walk through that period of brokenness or joy or suffering or whatever it is you're experiencing in your life as individuals, as families, as a community of faith. So we have these wonderful images and metaphors that we use. They're everywhere. That help us to understand, help us to begin to unpack the mystery, which is the Trinity. And I brought along this one over here. This is a Native American icon of the Trinity. I was given this by a really wonderful friend and parishioner on the day of my ordination to the priesthood back in 2003 at St. John's Episcopal Church in Portsmouth. And I have loved it. It helps me to see the Trinity in a whole new way. A whole new way. And it makes me question and think, oh, that's me, of this circle of life that we stand in, this community of faith. So I thought, because communication and participation are such an incredibly powerful element of the Trinity, that we might want to share some of our metaphors and images of the Trinity here this morning. And so I ask you to think about different times in your life when you have recognized something as the Trinity speaking to you or helping you to understand what's going on. So who has an image or a metaphor of the Trinity that you'd like to share? Yes.
It keeps you from reducing God and shutting you down.
Yes. What an amazing, I've never heard that. That's a wonderful image, that surgeons actually open us up in order to heal us. Deacon Eric is up back, and he had that surgeon who opened up the back of his neck in order to heal him. And I love that image. Who else has another image? Another clergy person.
A number of people who come together individually, you know, so they're maybe three, maybe more, but it really is one family sharing in one beautiful expression of love.
Yes, thank you, Graham. Graham is Eric's husband, and he's with us because he's on sabbatical right now. Lucky. So, yes, so that is part of it. It is that family. We are a family. Many of us think of ourselves as a church family. And this is the table at which we come together around it. And sometimes if the group is small enough, I actually have them come up and make a circle around the altar. Who has another image?
There's always Patrick's image,
St. Patrick. So I have this one, a Celtic cross. There's an image that uses sort of the triangular shapes, but it also has the circle there. So it puts several ones together.
He used the clover, too.
Yes, and the clover. That's right. And it opens us up to God's presence in that liberating way. So I'll just show you a couple more. This was one. This was a iris. And it's multiple threes there in different shades. And this one is probably the oldest icon of the Trinity that we have. It's a Russian icon. And it is meant to represent the Trinity. And you'll notice that the thing is the wonderful thing about this is there's an opening at that table. And that's for each one of us and for all of us together. We are part of the Trinity. We are invited into the midst of the love that the Trinity offers us. Now, I want you all to know that I know that many of you are uncomfortable about the times when I do these kinds of sermons, where I ask you to actually share some of your faith. But the Trinity demands that we get comfortable with having these conversations in order to deepen our sense of one another and our community. Sunday morning is the time we come together as a faith community. It matters to you, or you wouldn't be here. And so I also know that it may be the only time you get to church. And so occasionally, in a sermon, I am going to do this because it's part of deepening our sense of knowledge of one another and getting comfortable with talking about our faith. And the Trinity is a central component. Listen for the rest of the service and hear how many times the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is referred to in some way. It is central. And so finding comfort in hearing other voices of our community, not just clergy. That's why when people raised their hands and they were clergy, I named them as clergy. We are on equal footing here. We are not meant to be one with all the wisdom. Lady Wisdom was speaking for each one of you this morning. And so in your assessment last winter, deepening your sense of connections to each other came out of that as a very strong desire of this community of faith. And so I do this as a way of helping with that. Now, I have to tell you that sermons are not supposed to be lectures. They are actually one of the most Trinitarian thing we do on Sunday morning. I work all week with the scriptures. I pray with them. I read about them. I let the Holy Spirit come to me. And I somehow put words down on my pad. But the fact is that what allows me the ability, the audacity to stand up here and preach the Word of God is because I'm not doing it by myself. Because what happens is you are here with your ears open, and then the Trinity swoops in, and God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, has you hear something in that sermon that captures you. And it may be the words that actually come out of my mouth, or it may be what God wants you to hear. Because I truly, more times than not, have had people say to me at the back door, when you said this, and they'll say a phrase, sentence. And it meant all the world to me. It opened up something new in me, or I'm going to think about that. That was a challenge. Whatever they say to me, they give me the words. And I smile and I go, I'm glad you heard that. You needed to hear that, apparently. Only that wasn't anything I ever said. That's how I know that the Holy Trinity is active amongst us. Because God has you hear what you want to. A sermon is not about me giving to you. It is about God giving to us. And I want us to listen to what Proverbs actually says directly to us this morning. I want to take out that piece. It was beautiful. Wisdom speaks to us in that and tells us where she's been. She's been before creation. She's been in the middle of creation with God. And then she speaks to us and says, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master worker. That's us. We are supposed to be God's master workers in this day. Jesus' hands and feet. And I was daily his delight. That's what we get to be. Rejoicing before him always. Rejoicing in his inhabited world. That is all people. Welcoming, hospitality, the whole shebang. And delighting in the human race. We are a human race. We represent such a breadth and depth of this human race here. Yes, could we be more diverse? Yes, we could. And so sometimes we have to go out of our comfort zones and get out there someplace in the world where we actually get in touch with that diversity. Just the way the God invited this wonderful Trinitarian image. It is an invitation and an act of hospitality. And so finally, I think what's important, especially today, is to think of that word delight. We need to find new ways to delight God in how we are Christians in the world. We also need to help delight to find us, to find that sense of delight in who we are together. And so let us pray. Pour into our hearts, O gracious God, triune God, this blessing for Trinity Sunday, shared with me by Jan Richardson. Like a cup, like a chalice, like a basin, like a bowl, when the Spirit comes, let it find our heart like this, shaped like something that knows how to receive, that knows how to hold what comes to fill it, that knows how to gather itself around what arrives as unbidden, unsought, unmeasured love. I offer you these words in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.